a former faculty member at Stony Brook, and for a while chairman of the physics department. This interview was conducted in his office at the college. Well, I have to see if this is going now.
Okay, well, my name is Oakes Ames. I came to Stony Brook in the summer of 1966. I was 35 years old when I did that. And my appointment was effective that summer. I joined the physics department as an associate professor. I did my graduate work, my PhD in physics at Johns Hopkins. And before coming to Stony Brook, I had been at Princeton University in the physics department. From 1957, October, through the spring of 1966, where I did research and teaching and only a little bit of administrative work.
I see. Well, that's the first three questions. Already a new
nucleus of some very good people, especially in the sciences.
Yes.
And I think the remarkable thing was that the amount of support that was coming in from the state at that point seemed almost unlimited. There was this sense that we could do almost anything we wanted to do. Wasn't quite true, but...
Money was much freer then.
Much freer. Maybe that, you know, I don't know whether that covers six.
I think so.
There were certainly expectations, and I wasn't disappointed in this regard at all, in physics, that there would be rapid growth and first grade people coming in and good facilities.
Yes.
All of that happened. What were my impressions when I first arrived? Well, atmosphere, I'll begin at the end. It was like a frontier town.
Yeah.
There was a lot of improvising going on. Everything. You want to check that?
Sure.
We're back on the air.
Yes.
I mean, we were doing everything for the first time. And for instance, in the library building, which is where the administration was then, that's Johnny's office and yours and Bentley's. Every year the administration was growing and new offices were being formed, new people were coming in. In the beginning, Johnny was doing an awful lot himself. And we were starting with the Ed Pellegrino was there. There was the dream of the new hospital and the medical complex. So it was, the atmosphere was one of real adventure.
The decisions were well made?
I think they were. I have to say that as far as Johnny's administration was concerned, I know he came under some fire at various times under criticism, but I think anybody would who was trying to move as fast as he did, and I think he had his eye on the ball, by which I mean that what mattered more than anything else to him was getting the best faculty he could get.
Right.
And that's where his emphasis was, and if other things occasionally fell by the wayside, you couldn't do everything at once. Well, I know there was a sense that the quality of life on the campus was not all it could be. Too much mud, too much lack of attention perhaps to creature comforts. That sort of criticism almost was inevitable. I guess another tension there was whether enough attention was being put to the growth of the humanities, the social sciences, and the arts. That was certainly a debating point. I guess what John was trying to do was to build on the early strengths of the institution and develop the sciences. But the other areas certainly followed along, I thought, in a pretty good fashion. So I thought the faculty were very impressive, and the students I had, I ought to divide my answer to that question, I suppose, into two parts. The graduate students in the physics department were very, very good. The undergraduates covered a tremendous spectrum.
Yes.
We had some very, very bright ones. We had some students who had a pretty rough time with it. And we had a lot of students, as I recall, who were the first in their families to ever go to college.
Right. That was characteristic.
That was very interesting. That was very interesting. Who were the outstanding leaders on the faculty? Well, I remember Harry Kalish. I remember Alec Pond, Max Dresden. Of course, Bentley Glass. I guess he had an appointment in biology. Sid Gelber.
was outstanding. Ollie Schaefer, Earth and Space Sciences. Some of the names that come to mind most quickly. I thought Bentley was remarkable. I don't know whether my statistics are correct, but if I'm not mistaken, in 1966 there were 300 people on the faculty, and in 1974 when I left there were 1,300. 1,100. The figure I keep in my mind was 800 added in those 8 years, about 100 per year, from 300 to 1,100. And Bentley seemed to interview every candidate, so he must have been interviewing, if we added 100 faculty a year, he must have been interviewing about 300 or 400 people. My office was often, for part of that time, was next to his, and he certainly did see a lot. So,
we can check the statistics.
I was made chairman of the department in 1970.
1970?
Yeah. I don't remember the exact circumstances. Morton Hammermesh, the theoretical physicist, had been brought in a few years before to take over, I guess, from Alec. And Mort did it for a while, but I think wanted to go back to the Midwest. He left us. And so the department was searching him. I felt that I had done most of what I could in that position with Johnny and with Bentley. As a special assistant, and wanted to have a little more time in the department, continue my administrative work. So the chairmanship seemed like a very good thing to get into. It was a big department. It was a major administrative assignment there.
Did you have anything to do with Myron Doucette?
Well, I remember him, certainly, but I don't remember any special work that we did together.
I see. He was, he came in when I was, acting president, and he had just retired from, Scoville Manufacturing Company. And we needed somebody to ride herd on the scientific equipment that had been ordered.
Mm-hmm.
See why it didn't show up.
Mm-hmm.
And when it did, make sure that it was what we had ordered and help with the installation.
Yeah, I remember it.
Yeah.
Yeah, now that you mention it, I remember that. I should mention, names are going to come back, and another person that, as far as leadership in that early period was very important, was the chairman of the chemistry department, Bonner?
Bonner, Francis Bonner.
Francis Bonner.
Yeah.
I thought he was
a
really key person in those early years. Somebody I liked very much.
He's a good violinist.
Yeah. Yeah. What do I think I accomplished? I hope I accomplished all sorts of things in the 2 years that I worked for John and Bentley. You know, I was one of three special assistants who came in, and we all came in at the same time.
Who were they?
Bill Moran.
Yes.
Was one, and Dieter Jacques.
I see.
Dieter Jacques was in the economics department.
Right.
Had a split appointment just as I do. I think one of his youngsters has gone through Connecticut College and graduated.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. When did the Westman graduate?
Okay. Bill Moran was not in an academic position, but he's now president of a university campus, I think, in North Carolina or South Carolina.
Greensboro.
Greensboro.
Right.
So the three of us...
already interviewed him.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Well, the three of us knew each other very well, and we, you know, we worked on a lot of different things, I was given lots of assignments along the way, and I remember very well the Marine Sciences Research Center was one that I put a lot of time into, and Don Squires was the first head of that center.
Who appointed him?
Well, Johnny did, or Bentley did, but that was part of Stony Brook's mandate to set up the center, and I was in on the initial planning and goal setting and defining what the center was going to be and on the mechanics of the search. I remember with some pride being able to do something that I later learned was not proper, but getting in terms of the procedure that was followed, getting a bridge built from the mainland out across Black's Pond to the beach.
Still there.
Good.
Still there.
Getting that bridge in so that the marine science researchers could have better, easier access to the Black's Pond area.
Right.
And I got it done on the operating budget for the center, and later found out that some of the folks up in Albany were pretty annoyed because they considered that, and I certainly would have, a capital project. Should have gotten approval. And had we gone that route, it probably would have taken a couple more years to get it approved. So there were elements of occasionally trying to expedite things and to have a little more freedom from the tight control of central administration.
That has been a problem right along. I think there is more freedom now.
Well, I read there was a study just a couple of years ago recommending a real change.
Right. Well, they got part of it from the legislature.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's an example of one of the things that I think I accomplished working in the administration, and of course the Science Development Grant was another big one.
That was a big one.
In the department, as chair, the 4 years that I was doing that were years of continuing growth and maturity of the department. And
how close were you to Brookhaven?
Well, the department was very close. We had several people in nuclear physics who collaborated with members of the Brookhaven staff.
Meather? Meather?
No, Herb Meather was not one of them. Leonard Lee.
Lindley, that's
was
right.
One of them. But there was a lot of interest back and forth what was going on.
Was the Van de Graaff already in place when you came?
That was put in while I was there.
I see.
Then quite a few of the high-energy physicists worked either at Brookhaven or at some of the other national labs. So I certainly felt that one of my big contributions as chairman was one of expediting the operations of the department and making things work smoothly, making good appointments, working very closely with Frank Yang. Because the Institute was independent, of course, but it also worked very closely with the physics department. And so we were always analyzing our curriculum and trying to decide whether we had the right one. Planning the new physics building.
Yes.
That was going on. That was something that Alec Pond was working on and dreaming about when I first got there. That great giant. Of course, I did some teaching while I was there, too, which I enjoyed very, very much. I did have contacts with Albany to move on to question 11.
All right.
Traveled up to central administration there sometimes with Johnny. I remember one meeting we had up there when he was pushing for, I believe, a special building for astronomy. and he was told in no uncertain terms by, I don't remember who the official was, that just couldn't be.
Axelrod or?
Well, whomever, but
yeah.
His immediate rejoinder was, well, how about next year? He had this never say die approach to things, and he kept pushing, and I think...
Do you think that decision, that couldn't be, came just from that person? Where did it come from?
I don't know where that decision came from, actually, or whether that represented a quick judgment or whether it had been carefully studied, but I tell a story only to illustrate Johnny's persistence. I think a lot of things that we were able to do at Stony Brook just never would have happened if he hadn't been persuasive and had a particular style that he did. Still does. Washington, it contacts, very close contacts with the National Science Foundation because of that development grant, but for the record, I should say that Bentley Glass deserves a lot of credit for our getting that grant, too, because at the crucial time, he went down and talked to one of the top officials who he knew down there. And threw the full weight of his support behind that grant just when we needed it. And I always thought that that personal visit that Bentley made was a very important factor in the foundation's decision to give us the grant.
Well, now, how many of those grants were given that year?
Ours was one of the very last.
I see.
The program was being closed down.
I see.
And it was nip and tuck there for a while. We weren't sure that we'd get it because we knew the program was going to be closed. So we gave it a all-out try. I think probably there were about 30 or 35 grants given in all over a 6 or 7 year period. That would be my guess. Would I care to comment on the quality of the students and the quality of student life? I did comment a little bit about the students.
Yeah.
The quality of student life was certainly a problem. As I look back on it, there was not an awful lot. There were some new dorms built.
Yeah.
When I first came there, there were the brick dorms fairly close into the center of campus.
H and G.
Yeah,
yes.
It was referred to as neo-penal architecture.
Yeah, right.
And then there was some new complexes built to the south.
Yes, Ross,
yeah.
Taylor.
Yeah.
Different architects.
And, there was a need for athletic facilities. There was a need for... We did have a student center built, which certainly was a help. But I always felt that the students needed more attention. I don't remember what percentage were actually boarders, but it must have been a fairly large number.
I think they can handle now around 6,500 or something like that.
Mm-hmm. As I said, we saw a lot of very good undergraduates in the physics department, and we had a good number of majors.
Was the same true for chemistry here?
Yes. I sensed that of chemistry and also of space sciences. Oh, Shaker brought in some awfully good people there.
Right.
Toby Owen, for instance.
Yes, he's still there.
Has turned out to be a really leading light.
Right.
And, there were some people in astronomy along the way who were extremely good, too.
Palmer was...
Yeah.
Allison Palmer.
Allison Palmer, yeah.
Thirteen.
kind of community we were. Things were in a state of flux. There were new people coming on. There were a lot of tensions.
What kind of tensions?
Well, when was it? It was in 1968 that we had that drug bust.
Yes, right.
As I recall, the district attorney was hoping to run for political office. Thought that if he could get his name in the papers, he might have a chance to win the election. Brought in a tremendous army of people to arrest 14 kids, and there were, I think, 14 kids who were apprehended early one morning, and in the process, the press was brought in, and TV photographers.
Did you see the booklet?
No.
The advanced booklet with a picture of a knight in a hauberk. It was a TV production.
Well, that's the way I remembered it.
I think it was not so much the district attorney as the chief of police and some of the Republican leaders, other than that.
Well, it put the whole community into a terrible bind, because I think the students felt that the administration had betrayed them.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Not that the administration is supposed to protect them either. That whole matter had to be talked through. But it was a very divisive incident, as I recall, and one that tended to polarize the university a great deal. There was a suspicion in among the students that somebody in the university should have let them know, or somebody had let the officials know, and that there had been collusion. I don't know what happened, but it was a difficult time. And then, of course, that we moved right from that on into the intense unrest over the Vietnam War.
Yes, right.
And our ability to be a community of scholars under those circumstances was difficult. I mean, the circumstances were hard for us to be a community of scholars. We were distracted by all of these other tensions over and over and over again. And we were getting to know new people each year. There were not all that many good places for us to gather together. So that was something that had to come as with time.
Were they using the second floor of the chemistry building before you left as a dining place?
Yes, I believe they were. Well,
at least for lunches.
Yeah, we used the student center, the campus center, across the road from the library.
Right.
There was a
faculty dining
area there. That's the one I remember. Don't remember the one in chemistry that well. We didn't have a faculty club.
Sunwood was too far away.
Sunwood was too far away. There were things that brought us together, and certainly the concerts that were held in the old gymnasium there, the campus center. Well, the gymnasium was separate, wasn't it, from the student center? But that's where the concerts were first.
Right.
And they certainly helped to create a community. But we had no place where everybody could gather. There was no real auditorium. I think there was a lot of pride, though, among the faculty in what they were doing.
The type of person that would join Stony Brook was an individual who was willing to
say that's very true. Well, 14, as far as my expectations go, those were remarkable 8 years for me and for Louise. I think professionally, I came there in a very experimental frame of mind, not knowing exactly what I wanted to do, and ended up in this job as a full-time administrator, and I learned a huge amount at Stony Brook about the whole area of management and administration. My expectations as far as my involvement in physics was concerned, I wasn't sure what I was going to be getting into.